Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshippers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace, with reverence sound his glories forth, and bow before his face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 51. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember two that are in the hospital. Mr. Dan van Worthausen was taken to the hospital in this past week, and also Mr. Case Alleman was brought to the hospital this morning. Mrs. Van Sluis was in the hospital this week and has returned home again. Also, Mrs. Van Heerden has now returned to her home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who dwellest amidst the cherubims on high, who art lifted up and yet humblest thyself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. We have read it out of thy holy word already in this morning hour. There is a people that are oppressed here in this world, and they are taught by thy servant, inspired by thy very spirit, to look up to heaven. Oh, they are taught, they are instructed, not to avenge themselves, but to seek it from above, where all their help does come from. And Lord, thou hast promised that thou wilt help the needy when they cry, that thou wilt save their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, thou hast promised that thou wilt be nigh unto all those who fear thee, who walk according to thy ways. And Lord, thou knowest where that they are in all their oppressions and afflictions and trials here below, each one of them over the length and breadth of the whole world. Every one is known to thee from the greatest sitting upon the throne, even to him that sitteth in the prison house. Lord, may thou look upon thy own children, thy own people. It is a world in which we have brought nothing but misery and affliction and a trial and a temptation. Oh, we have sinned in our father Adam and brought upon ourselves all that wretchedness. Lord, that wretchedness is also lying within each and every one of our hearts. Oh, that it may become our greatest burden, not all that is coming upon us from the outside, but all that is from within. For the thought of the heart that is only evil continually, and all that world that is dwelling within us, we cannot rend it out of our hearts, Lord, except thou wilt come and thou wilt do it for us. Oh, look on us, each and every one, as we are here gathered in this morning in thy house of prayer. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed, because thy compassions do not fail, even to this very morning hour. Thou hast brought us safely together. Oh, there are some that are not able to be with us, two that have been brought to the hospital, and thou knowest both of them and the condition of body and mind together. Lord, may thou spare them in all that which is come upon them. And may thou give help in all these circumstances. And give wisdom to doctors to treat them. And give strength and health once again in the body. Bring them safely home. And bring them up unto us once again in thy own appointed time. And look upon those that have been in the hospital and may come home again. Lord, thou hast spoken. Thou givest callings day by day. And wilt thou also bless and sanctify these ways unto their own souls and unto their loved ones. Oh, teach us that there is one thing that is needful, that we must be born again, that thy word is truth, and that thou hast carried out thy threat to our father in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, give that spiritual death may become a burden to our souls to gather, each and every one of us, especially when it is thy holy day, and when we are gathered around thy word. O Lord, it is for that great purpose, that thy word may be preached in the midst of the congregation. And Lord, what can we do without thee? Nothing. O wilt thou look on us in mercy, and do come with thy spirit in this day to us and unto our dear children. O visit us with a visit from on high, and could it please thee, in the great dearth that is come upon us in the days that we live, that thy spirit is so quiet, and that thy children, they are living so often so far from thee. Lord, oh, it is a dark time, but Lord, thou art the same. Thy spirit is the same. Thy will and thy good pleasure, even if from eternity, has never changed. Oh, that thou may look upon us in this morning hour and in this day, when we may be together in thy house, and when we cannot do without thee, and when we cannot hear, when we cannot speak, without the unction of thy spirit to bless and to sanctify thy holy word. Lord, what shall it profit us if we are here together as a consistory, as members, as minister, as congregation, and when thou wilt hide thy face, or when thou wilt not go in and out amongst us, then it shall be so empty, and thy word that shall be as a dead letter, then it shall be a savor of death unto death. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, from above, that thou may visit us undeservedly in this day, that thou may come to us and our loved ones, that thou would pour out a heavenly blessing, and that there may be not room enough to receive it. Oh, that thou may open the windows of heaven, that thou may open the storehouses of Joseph that are so full in the dearth, and that there may be a people who come crying to thee as the greater Joseph, that thou wilt give us food to eat for us and for our little ones. Lord, we beseech thee, oh, that this world may not have the preeminence in our hearts, but oh, that we might seek the things that are above,
that it may be that our affections are set upon those things, not upon the things that are here below, which are so evidently passing away, and we have to leave every one of them soon behind us. Lord, wilt thou impress thy word by thy Spirit upon our souls this day, and when we are traveling for our own account over this world, Lord, stop us upon our way, and come thou, look upon thy own dear children. Thou knowest who they are. They are loved by thee from that never begun eternity, but they are born in a state of wrath and in death. Oh, it is necessary that they are born again. Lord, remember all those who lie under that seal of election. Could it please thee to give that the hour may have come in this morning hour, that this or that one of those that are loved by thee may have to be stopped, may be born again, may be renewed to a spiritual life. Look upon all those that have been brought upon that narrow way and through that straight gate. Oh, it is a way that ever becomes narrower and narrower the longer that they live. Oh, that thou may remember them with all the questions that come continually to the foreground because of the continuance of sin, because of the warfare, because of the struggle in the womb, that they must say, Lord, if it be so, why am I thus? Oh, look on them this day, Lord. Yeah, give yet a little token from above, that thou may visit thine own, that thou may comfort them with the comforts of thee, and that thy dear son may become so precious and altogether lovely. Oh, make him necessary in the midst of us. And when a man cannot cure himself of that wretched disease of sin, but is so infected as a wretched leprosy, spreading to every part, inside and on the outside, corrupting and polluting, and bringing even unto the dust of death. Oh, give them to cry out, covering the upper lip, unclean, unclean. And oh, give them a sight of thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, that their hope may be stayed upon thee, and that they may hear yet that thou hast come, and that thou art near, and that it may give them out of the great need of their heart to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, look upon young and old. Comfort all that mourn, widows, widowers and orphans, and all those that go over this life alone, those that are not married, those who have special crosses. Remember the couple that may commemorate that they have been married for 65 years. Lord, look on them in the climbing of their years. Thou hast spared them together. It is for a little time. It is not forever. Oh, may thou give them a heart this day, and they may go out to thee, and that may weep, that they do not love thee as they ought to love thee. O convict of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, and give that salvation that thou alone art able to do. Lord, remember all those that have special needs, the handicapped, the invalid ones, the blind, the lame, the deaf, and all those that have special needs known to thee. Look upon those that have not enough food and drink, clothing and shelter in this life, and all those that are oppressed. Oh, give them a cry to heaven. Show that thou art the living God. Draw to thy truth, and so give that thy word may be spread over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Help us, Lord, this day. Wilt thou send the rain upon the earth? Thou knowest all that we stand in need of. Lord, we are so dependent upon thee. And we cannot give to ourselves one blessing. Oh, thou art so righteous because of our iniquity to withhold all things and to bring us into an utter poverty. Lord, it is so just because we turn our back and we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, impress us with thy judgments. Impress us with our own sin. Cause us to turn therefrom. And oh, give us a true cry. And wilt thou give us a little blessing and a little relief from above. Lord, that we might learn, that we may be taught, that we may be instructed in all these ways. And wilt thou help us also ascend our rain from above in this morning. Oh, that thou would pour it forth, and that we may not be without a spiritual blessing. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 92, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be, and thy mighty shield protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. Amid the conflict, O my Lord, and thy precious promise let me hear. The faithful, reassuring word, I am thy Savior, do not fear. We are asked to make a special mention for the last collection today, which is for the school, and to recommend this collection to your generosity, as it is necessary to cover the shortfall in the collections and the donations. Therefore, may the Lord bless you and your gifts. Psalter number 92, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, the emptied men, emptied from vessel to vessel. That men from whom everything has been taken, so that there is nothing left, nothing of self. Blessed, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn. Those that are poor in spirit will learn to mourn. They will receive a sorrow, not as the sorrow of this world, but a sorrow that is of a godly sort. And then that people are pronounced by the Lord Jesus doubly blessed. Blessed as poor in spirit, but also blessed as those that mourn. Why? Because they shall be comforted. Those that are poor in spirit and they that mourn, they will bring forth fruit. This is a people that are taught meekness. Meekness. Thus the Lord Jesus, He is preaching the experimental way of the true church of God, beginning in the beginning, beginning with the foundation and going therefrom, from step to step in the life of the true church of God. And this people, the Lord Jesus calls thrice blessed. We wish to consider that in this morning hour out of the words of our text, thereof Matthew 5, the fifth verse. Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So far the words of our text. The blessedness of the meek. First, in what meekness consists, or boys and girls, what that really means, to be meek. Second, in what their blessedness consists, thus how that meek people are blessed. The blessedness of the meek. First, in what meekness consists, and second, in what their blessedness consists. Blessed are the meek. Thus, what is that to be meek? That is not something that is so easily defined. That is a virtue within a man. That is something that needs to be described. That meekness, that is a certain mildness of disposition. It is a certain gentleness of spirit. Thus, it is describing something of the temper, of the character of a person. But immediately in the beginning, then we wish to make this very clear, and we wish therefore to make immediately a certain distinction that the Lord Jesus is not speaking about here the natural character of a person. Every man in this world has a natural character. That is a character that we are born with. We can see that in our children, every one of them brought up in the same family, and yet every one of them having their own character. And not only so, but that character may be also somewhat influenced in a natural way by our experiences, by our upbringing in this world. Some have, in a very natural way, this mildness of disposition, this gentleness of spirit. Some are able in all the things of this life to take everything with a certain stride. And then there are others that are not so able. Then there are others that have a character that is much more fiery. We know that Peter had a character that was very different from the character of John. That was not such an easy character that the Apostle Peter had. Our natural character is not a spiritual blessing. The natural meekness of a man is a virtue that may be found also in the wicked. It is something that may be found also in the reprobate. Not only so, but the natural meekness of the character of a person is also not always a blessing. We know that Jehoshaphat, he had, it seems, somewhat of a natural meekness, and he did not seem to be able to say no, to draw the line so easy with that wicked Ahab. Thus, some with that natural meekness, they are shrinking away from duties in this life because they are lacking that firmness within their character. It is actually a bit of the love of ease, the love of comfort, not being able to stand up, not being able to deal with a little bit of conflict in this life. On the other hand, we know that some of God's own children, they have a very difficult character in a natural way. And now grace, that is something which will have an influence upon a difficult character naturally. Thus we say in the beginning already that the Lord Jesus is not speaking about the natural character of a person. It is something different. This meekness that has a different cause. It has a different fountain out of which it is flowing, although it may seem to have a very similar effect. This meekness that the Lord Jesus speaks about, that is a spiritual blessing, that is a fruit of a new life. What kind of life is that? That is a spiritual life. Thus, it is the effect of a spiritual instruction, that true meekness. The origin of this meekness that is lying in a new view, the view of the spiritual man, the view of that
new heart. It is a view of God which is not seen by the natural man, and it is a view of self that is not seen by the natural man. Thus, how does that new man see God? He sees Him in His majesty. He sees Him in His holiness, in His righteousness, in His justice. That new view that is one of awe. And then not only of Him, but of myself in light of who He is. That is that new view that is seeing myself as I am in the fall. That sees the loathsomeness. That sees the wretchedness. That sees the sinfulness of my own character, of my own heart. Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, he says, mine eye seeth thee. Thus, the Lord gave him to see something of His righteousness. And what was the fruit of this? Job says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. Thus, self-abhorrence. That is that spiritual gift, and that self-abhorrence that is the mother of this meekness. That meekness, blessed are the meek. That meekness that does not appear except under suffering and affliction. Thus, meekness that has to do with the carriage of a person under the hand of the Lord in the way of suffering. That meekness that is quiet, that is resigned to that suffering, that is not full of resentment, that is not full of discontent under that hand of the Lord. But the question that is, why? Why is it that man, that woman, that boy or girl is not so discontent? How can they be so quiet under that affliction? Then we say that is not because of the natural character of this person. But it is because of that new view. It is because of what they see. It is because of that impression that they have been given in that new life of God and of myself. Meekness. Meekness that believes that God is the potter and that I am but the clay. And therefore that meekness that is laying its hand upon His mouth. Meekness that believes that God has the complete right in His sovereignty to do with me whatever that He wishes, and that He is right. That I have no rights. It is the Lord. Let Him do unto me as seemeth good unto Him. Is meekness then the same as patience? No. It is very close to patience,
But it is not exactly the same as patience. Patience that refers to the sufferings. But meekness that is referring to the occasions or to the author of my sufferings. Thus, it is one thing to be patient under my affliction. It is another thing for me to be meek towards those who are causing me to suffer. Thus, patience has to do with the affliction, but meekness with the cause or with the afflictor. Where do afflictions come from? Then we also have to make a distinction. We must make a distinction between a first cause of an affliction and a second cause of an affliction. God is the first cause. God is the primary cause of everything. Everything is happening in this world to you and to me according to His will and according to His decree. Sometimes God is pleased to also be the direct cause. Thus, sometimes that He is using no intermediary cause. What is laying in our heart? When we would see the clouds, and when there would be so much hope, not so much for us, because we are not yet so afflicted with the present drought. But when we head for the drought, mortgaged our home and sold our possessions to feed our children, and there is yet nothing, the last is gone, and so we cry under that affliction and we see the clouds and it is raining on the field of my neighbor and not upon my own. Then we have that impression that God is the cause. Then there is no intermediary cause. No, when our fist would raise, then it would raise to heaven immediately. Meekness, on the other hand, that says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins." Wherein now is meekness coming into its greatest trial? The greatest trial for that meekness that is when the Lord is using a secondary cause, an intermediary cause, to afflict. That is, when the Lord is using my neighbor, when the Lord is using another person, does not lie so in my heart to cease from resisting evil. That is not so easy to turn to my neighbor the left cheek when he is smiting me upon the right. That is not so easy to give to him my cloak when he is suing me at law for my coat. What is rising in my heart? Then there is a detesting of that person. there is a hatred of that person than it is a desire in my heart to do that person some hurt, whether that is in the body or whether that is in his name or reputation or whatever that may be. It may be then I have a very meek character. It may be that I am able to refrain myself from carrying out. But that enmity is still lying in my heart. Thus, the greatest trial of that meekness. But what is now the Lord planting in the heart of his true church when it is well? That is that view. That man, that woman, that boy or that girl has seen. That view of God, that view of myself. What does he see in that affliction? He sees the rod that is in the hand of the Lord. And when I see that, then I cannot hate my neighbor. No, then my neighbor, then I see he may be guilty, but I feel that God is righteous. Oh, David said, let him mock Shimei. What did he see? God is righteous. A bloody man? Yes. There is truth, Shimei. Wicked words. You are a wicked man. But there is also truth in your words. Was not that the way of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? When he was led, we read, as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Peter says, I will fight for you. Take out my sword. And he began. The Lord Jesus says, Peter, put your sword into your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, Peter. Then he saw further than the second cause. He went to the first cause, the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? And therefore, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And therefore, when he was threatened, then he did not answer, but he has committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Was Pilate guilty? Yes. What did the Lord Jesus say? Pilate, you could have no power against me at all. Except, and he went to the first cause. Except it was given to you, Pilate, from above. Is that not the way that the Lord Jesus could pray for his enemies? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Something of that view that is placed in the heart of that people of the Lord. And not only so, but there is a second thing. And that is that they see their offender, but they also see themselves. And that evil that is lying in the heart of that offender, they know that is lying also in their own heart. And if the Lord did not put a wall, if the Lord did not put a fence about them, and then they would carry out that same evil. Blessed are the meek. Oh, how little, even in the life of God's people. How little does that impression live in their heart? How little of the practice of that meekness is coming out in the life of God's true children? That is not strange. That always was. Because that meekness we read so often in the Word of God, that is not only lying in the character of that people, even if it is but the smallest seed, but the Lord is enjoining that meekness upon His church as a duty. I beseech you, says Paul, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Does that mean that all the wrongs and all the injustices that are done in this world, we are simply to overlook? That we are to let a man do as he pleases? That we are just to turn our back and walk away from all such circumstances? No. If that was true, then the Lord had never instituted authority. The Lord had never given fathers in families who have an authority. The Lord had never given magistrates to have a civil government in this world. The Lord had never given office bearers within His church to an authority belongs justice. That is a power that is not taken upon Himself by men, but that is given unto Him of the Lord. That the Lord has put the sword in the hand of the magistrate, that is for a purpose. That is for the punishment, we read, of those that do evil. Thus there is a difference between private revenge and an ecclesiastical punishment. Private man may not render evil for evil, but meekness is also not weakness. How was that in the life of Eli? Then he was not just meek, but he was also weak. Then he should have stood up because he had an office. He was a father and he was the high priest. Thus it was injustice that he would be too mild in his dealings. Thus, meekness that is not weakness. Meekness is also not sloth when it comes to dealing with sin, when it comes to the honor of the name of the Lord. Moses was the meekest man. And yet when Moses viewed the children of Israel dancing around the calf, then the wrath of Moses that became evident. There is a holy anger that is without sin. That is an anger that is against sin. That was the anger of Phinehas. And when he took the javelin in his hand and smote it through that Israelitish man with that Midianitish woman. No, meekness does not compromise with evil. Elijah, we read, he was full of the fury of the Lord because the children of Israel would not turn away from their sin. What did the Lord Jesus say? I am meek
and lowly in heart, but listen to him pronounce woe upon woe upon woe against the Pharisees and the scribes. Watch him go into the temple of the Lord and overturn the tables of money. Why? Because of that zeal when it had eaten him up for the name and for the house of the Lord. No, meekness is not weakness, and meekness is not slothfulness against sin. Meekness that is restraint from private revenge. And even then, meekness does not exclude the possibility of defending myself. It is not that a man must forego every right that has been given unto him by God in this world. Festus charged Paul with madness. Thou art mad. But what did Paul do? He defended himself. He says, no, Festus, I am not mad. He may not harm his neighbor. We may not cast upon our neighbor all kind of evil words, and yet defense of self that is proper. We even read of Paul that he requires the magistrates to come and to fetch him out of the prison, that he will not just go on his own. Say, Paul, when he was a meek man, then he would have just left. No. Why not? Was that for Paul? No. But he says, they have condemned us openly. They have done this in front of everyone. Thus, he says, they must also make this right in front of everyone. That was not for his name, but it was for the sake and the cause of the name of the Lord. How is it then with personal wrongs? A wrong that is done to me by my neighbor. Must I just turn then and look the other way? The Lord says, no. The Lord says, go. Go to your neighbor and tell him how that he has offended you. Not go take revenge. Not go cast angry words. But tell him his fault. What is the purpose? Purpose is that you may come together again. The purpose is that the offense may be taken away. And if he will not receive you, take another, one or two witnesses. And if he will not listen, go to the church. And when he will not listen, let him be as an heathen man and a public. Have nothing to do. Why? Revenge? No. But that his separation may be felt in his heart, that it may become so much for him that he may be brought again in the way of reconciliation unto you. Therefore, Paul says, brethren, if any man has been overtaken in a fault, restore such a man in the spirit of meekness. Blessed are the meek. Oh, that meekness. Not weakness, no, not slothfulness against the ways of sin, but knowing its place. Saul, he has chased David as a partridge upon the mountains. What was David's place? That was not to take revenge against the anointed of the Lord. No, the Lord gave David to know what his place was, that he dared not to touch the Lord's anointed. And what made David say, his time will come for him to die. God is going to take care. It is the Lord's cause.
it is not my cause. Blessed are the meek. Why? Let us sing first. Psalter 18, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 9. 1, 6, 7, and 9. Why standest thou afar, O Lord? Why art thou hid in trouble's hour? The wicked persecute the poor in haughty pride and reckless power. 1, 6, 7, and 9 of Psalter number 18. Our second thought, in what manner the meek are blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the Lord Jesus has quoted this directly from the Old Testament, as we read together in Psalm 37, in the 11th verse, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks about the blessedness. He speaks about the happiness of the meek. And what is that? He says, they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Well, that means they are not the happy ones who are proud and prosperous in this world, but they are the happy ones who may suffer under affliction and trial and persecution and tribulation in a meek way. Thus, so against what our natural mind would call happiness, and what actually is that blessedness, the Lord Jesus says, they shall inherit the earth. Or actually it says, they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit the land. Boys and girls, what land is that? We said it came from the Old Testament. Do you know what land that the children of Israel looked forward to in the Old Testament? You say that was the land of Canaan. That was the promised land. Then you are right. That was their inheritance. Thus, when the Lord Jesus says, they shall inherit the earth, or they shall inherit the land, then he is not saying that they are going to inherit all of this world with all its enjoyments and entertainments that the devil is giving in this world. No, what desire do they have for this? A man shall gain the whole world. Then what profit shall he gain? He shall gain absolutely none. They desire that the world would be ripped out of their heart. But the Lord Jesus says they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit Canaan. And what land is that? Were the children of Israel not already inheritors of the land of Canaan? Were they not living in that land of Canaan? Thus, is it the literal land of Canaan? No. But Israel, and then also Canaan, was a type. It signified something. And Canaan, that land, that signified every blessing, every spiritual blessing that is promised unto the true church of God. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit it. An inheritance is not something for which we labor. It is not something that we merit. An inheritance that is given at the death of the testator. It is given at the death of the person who has written out the will. Then they receive an inheritance, not bought, not labored, not merited. Thus, this meekness, blessed are the meek, that is not to purchase this inheritance. That meekness has nothing to do with meriting this inheritance. A man cannot practice meekness with the desire or the intention that they may receive that inheritance. No, that has nothing to do with it. But that meekness that is in itself a blessing, the first part of that inheritance. Thus to him that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. An inheritance that is given by agreement. Father, mother, together, a will. And this inheritance that is laid away for that church is also by agreement. That is by the triune God already in a covenant of peace in eternity. Blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Oh, they have already a little part of that blessedness here below. Do you know what they have? They have a disposition. They have a disposition of heart that allows them to enjoy all the good that the Lord gives them here below, that the world cannot enjoy because it is always looking for more, 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 greater, greater. But that people, when given that meekness in a little exercise, whether it be small or great, then they may enjoy that little portion of that inheritance from the Lord. And with that they may be content and satisfied. Actually, they own much more than everyone in this world. Why is that? Because they are engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what He owns, boys and girls? Everything. Cattle upon 1,000 hills. They all belong to Him. So actually, those people, they are inheritors. And they own more than everyone here below. And man, we see in this world, he is seeking, seeking, seeking to own more and more and more outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he owns nothing. He has a civil right for a little while, but he does not have that eternal right. Blessed, the Lord Jesus says, are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Congregation, this earth, that is not the final, that is not the great inheritance of the true people of the Lord. They are traveling to their inheritance. They are traveling to an eternal glory and that impression, people of the Lord. Oh, to live with that impression of being a stranger and a pilgrim here below, to have the affections, that is the love of my heart, placed on things above and not on things on the earth, all that is conducive to the practice of that meekness that the Lord commands you in His Word. Then you may be defrauded by men in this world. Then maybe as Naboth, they will with force, even when you are upright, they will come and they will take it all away. Or maybe with Mephibosheth, even that God-fearing king will not completely understand that he will say to you unjustly, "Thou and Ziba, divide the land." Or that may be that through all kind of oppression that you have to go through this life, but you will be fully recompensed at the resurrection of the dead. Recompensed here and recompensed hereafter. And that is why the Lord Jesus calls that people blessed. Do you believe that, young people? Blessed, he says, are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can give ourselves nothing. O grant it to us from above. Forgive all that is amiss and sinful, and give us that true bowing under Thee in all that Thou layest upon us. Thou wilt never lay more upon Thy people than they are able to bear. Oh, give them to be content in the way that thou dost lead them, and that they may seek and look for that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Forgive our many, many sins in speaking and in listening. Crown thy word with thy blessing. Bring us safely to our homes. And with desire to gather again in this afternoon hour, help thy servants also in this area, thy servant preaching in the English language, in our sister congregation. Be with him in this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 207, all stanzas. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. There he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 1-4 of Psalter 207. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing. Amen.